And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in, folks. We are here. It is July 8th, and we are here to talk some Dynasty football. We are into July, everybody, and it is that time. The casuals are checking in, if that's what you want to call them. The less endeavored type of Dynasty players are starting to check in. We're getting some rookie drafts. I'm sure there's still rookie drafts out there floating around that you guys are starting to go ahead and plug into and start to drive that force as football is ever so closely. If you're into Scott Fishbowl, if you're playing a little redraft and Dynasty, maybe you're in that Scott Fishbowl. That's always fun. My draft is completed, drafted at the live event in Buffalo, so that was always fun. And maybe you're drafting now. Those online drafts kicked off this week, so best of luck to you if you are in there. Maybe you can take a little bit of a nugget from this episode here. A little bit more Dynasty process focused we're going to go. One thing I can definitely say, do not draft Brandon Ayuk, no matter how cheap he is. That's definitely a way to nuke your Dynasty value or any fantasy value at all. That poor, poor, poor guy is going crazy over there on the socials. And definitely showing you a masterclass in a way to sink your Dynasty value. And it's honestly a great way to kind of almost even dive into processing in Dynasty as far as where we're going with player values and how to approach the game. The Dynasty game is a little bit different than your redraft games if you're just starting into Dynasty. Either way, maybe you're a little bit seasoned Dynasty player and you've learned in the past from something similar to this where those Dynasty values drop and ebbs and flows of the Dynasty game. But a real example of a guy that was very highly thought after coming off of that injury, and then we've seen over this past year or two where he's just nuked his entire value. So if you were holding on to Brandon Ayuk, hoping that post-injury you would still have some value, or buying the dip that we saw there that started early on after the injury, unfortunately, it seems like that may end up costing us a bit. But again, a very good example of what can happen in Dynasty and how these player values just drop very quickly at times. So you don't want to get caught holding the bag. And that can be even said here when we get into this a little bit. We'll talk some trades, player ages, etc. in the next couple segments here. And just really what we should be looking for and on the lookout for. And not wanting to get necessarily caught with the bag. But at times there are players that it's okay. Get caught with the bag. Other than that, we're going to get some training camps firing up here in a couple weeks, which is exciting. And preseason football, a month away. I think we get the Hall of Fame game early August, and then the preseason's in full swing. And before you know it, we'll be shifting those Dynasty minds into a little bit of redraft as we start to dive into some of those waivers and redraft type of start sit stuff here in the first couple weeks while we've kind of, you know, jockey for those positions and really figure out where our team stands amongst the league and if we're going to be pushing for that Dynasty championship here in 2026. If you're listening to us, likely you could. All right. But where we're going to start is right here, right now with trades. All right. But we're going to get to that after we got to plug a little bit. We got a lot going on over here at FTN Fantasy. Obviously, follow us on all the socials, whether that's Twitter, AKX, Blue Sky. We got some people over there on Reddit. We got, Instagram. We got all of it. You on it? We got it. TikToks, check them out. We are pushing tons and tons of content. The rankings are flying out there. Myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Tyler Oginski have them up on the website updated weekly. Whether it's redraft, Dynasty, we have some Dynasty rankings over there as well. If you are listening, you are an FTN member, go ahead and head into the Dynasty Discord. We're in there popping in and out. Jeff, Tyler, and myself answering those questions, getting those answered for you to help you build that roster. And maybe you'll take some nuggets from here as well, again, in building that type of roster. Jeff Ratcliffe also has the process out here. If you are going to be playing some redraft, a great draft guide, check that out. The Almanac dropped as well from Aaron Schatz today. Lots and lots coming out. There's also a sale. I think it ends, well, you're listening to this probably on Thursday, so you may have missed it, but you know, the sales are out there. Hopefully you took advantage of the 15% off sale. Maybe that gets extended, so we'll have to see. Definitely check out FTN Fantasy if you are not a member already and want to check that out. So much more. There's great content as well from Colin, Matakuda, Herms, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. And there's only going to be more. as the season gets that much closer. All right. Let's talk about it. Dynasty fantasy football. It is July. It feels early. What did we do in June? Probably not a ton. Maybe you had some rookie drafts. Maybe you made a ghost trade here and there. June feels like a little bit of a checkout for most dynasty managers. I mean, there's not much going on. You know, we get that draft at the end of April, May kind of turn into really most of the rookie drafts. Some float into June. And then we kind of, you know, get a little bit of a lull and a little bit of a break. It's about our only break because season ends, we dive into rookie scouting. So June, July feel like a little bit of a lull in most of the dynasty leagues in my past experiences. So don't feel bad. Don't feel behind the eight ball. You may hear some people talking about where you might be behind if you didn't make moves already. Don't listen to it. You're perfectly fine. However, now's the time. You know, you can start to get so people that are checking in that maybe haven't been following all of that football news. You may be able to go ahead and take, you know, advantage, find a little bit. I feel like in July, the real process is addressing my roster. That's something I do pretty avidly throughout the season. We need to really address the roster. Where's my weakness? What needs to be improved? And how can I improve it? We all know seasons, dynasty managers, or even if you're just starting, you would know if you've done a startup draft, you'll know this next thought, which is the waiver wire is bleak. You may find a small nugget of gold at one point on the waiver wire in some dynasty leagues, depending on how deep those rosters are. You know, then maybe you're in like one of those dynasty leagues that it's a very shallow roster, very shallow bench, and you have more waiver players to be able to add. Seen it, heard it, played in it. Not my personal favorite. I think it kind of negates a little bit of the dynasty format. I like a little bit of the lengthier bench. Obviously, you want to hold on to some of these players. It's kind of the name of the game. So, but waiver wire, likely bleak. Ain't got much going on. The buffet needs to be restocked, and it ain't going to get restocked. All right, it's closing time for most of these waiver wires at this point. So, how do we do this? Trades. That's where it's at. Trades are tough in dynasty leagues because you're going to sit there. I'm going to say this player's worth this, this player's worth that. The manager that I'm trying to communicate with thinks this player's worth this and this player's worth that. And we're not going to be able to meet in the middle. Sometimes that happens. All right. So don't get beat down on yourself. It happens a lot. I'm not a huge avid trader in many dynasty formats. I make little moves here and there to kind of square out my roster. I lean heavily on the rookie drafts and that's where I make my hay as far as building my roster to where I want to get to. However, if you're that team that needs that one piece and that trade needs to be made because you can't find it, you know, tight end is an easy one to trade for, typically drafting one too long of a shelf life before they get relevant. We need to make that trade to a player that has made that emergence already. My personal opinion, tight end, key to trade for. If you're playing super flex quarterbacks, good luck. I can never trade for quarterback in Superflex. Just it tends to be that most people overvalue those players to the point of where I'm like, I'm not paying that much for that player. I don't care. Not going to happen. If you're willing to pay a boatload, you'll get that quarterback. Now, the trades really are the lifeblood of July. That's what you're looking at. You know, if you haven't had your rookie draft, you can still maybe, you know, have some trades and jockeying around in your positions of the draft. However, that rookie draft's done. You've only got waiver wire and trades. You need to make the trades. If you think that your team is close to being a contender and but it needs a piece or two, it's got to be that trade. So the best part about July is we tend to see some roller coasting values amongst players. Like I said, what's starting soon? Training camp. Training camp's going to have the buzz. You're already starting to hear some of the inside reporters, you know, dropping, you know, one nugget I saw today with Pittsburgh, you know, the backfield. Seems like Rico Dowdle's the early down guy. Jaylen Warren, maybe the pass catcher. Caleb Johnson might not make the roster. That was the way the tweet was manufactured. I don't know where I'm at with that. I could see that very well. Caleb Johnson did not have a good rookie season. New coaching staff in place. Very good chance that Caleb Johnson could not make the roster. Get it. Totally makes sense. Again, those roller coaster values. If you believe in Caleb Johnson, you think he can make the roster, and he may push for it. Right now, probably could get him pretty cheap. So, and that's not an endorsement. Do not go get Caleb Johnson. Either way, you get my point. Okay, we're going to see that here throughout the next month. That's where July comes in. You're going to have some players that are worth more going for less and players who are worth less going for more. Those players right now, you know, like Luther Burden, a guy that that's super high on the market right now. A lot of people are into it. The yards per route run was fantastic last season in that small sample size. The ADOT was not ideal running at 7.7, but again, he had against, I was just looking at it over at FTN and Stats Hub, his play action ADOT was like 5.9. It was absurd. Near the top of the league. So there's a lot that can be said for Luther Burden. He's a perplexing type of player, not really a player I'm moving off of in Dynasty for per se, but I'm also kicking the tires because he's a hot name. Lots of people want him at the moment, and you might be able to make that move. But just one example. Again, we're looking to, when we go to trade, for example, values, we're talking about that. What makes a value good and bad? I think that's always the biggest concern in a trade. We're always afraid to make this silly trade. Let's be honest. I've been there. I've thought it. I've done it. Made some silly trades. Made some good trades that looked silly at the point. No trade's really silly to a full extent, okay? It's never really who wins the trade and who loses the trade. I think that's a common nomenclature that is out there. That is also a misuse of what trading is for in Dynasty. Obviously, there's a big push of we want to accumulate the most talent we can on the roster. That's kind of the Dynasty MO. But we have to remember, too, that we also need to make our team better. The point of Dynasty is just like redraft. We want to win that season, okay? I enjoy building a Dynasty roster, but I don't want to be in a forever rebuild. So when it comes to wins and losses and trades, I think it's something that we have to put out of our mind. It's very tough to put out of our mind. The ridicule, the league ridicule is a tough pill to swallow when you make the silly trade, all right? But it comes down to what you need, what you believe. It is your roster. It is your team. It is your player evaluation or a person who you trust's player evaluation. It may be mine. It may be Tyler's. It may be Jeff Radcliffe's. It may be anybody here at FTN Fantasy. It may be, I don't know, you know, Dynasty Rewind. It may be Fantasy Life. Whoever you truly have that one person or that one place that you truly believe in, and that's their evaluation, or it's your own. And it should be your own. I mean, that's what we're here for. I'm not here to tell you who to pick and trade. I'm here to make you a better fantasy player. That's the point. Ultimately, I'm trying to make you not have to listen to me and just be good at the game. That's the point, right? That's why you're here. You're listening to me get better. All right. So when it comes down to it, try to take that and push that out of your mind. Easier said than done. I know how it goes. All right. We can't just get thoughts out of our minds when we have them in there. It's a little harder than the old adage of, you know, you need to calm down. That's what you need to tell an angry person. Usually doesn't go well, right? So same thing here. All right. I get it that we want that win the trade. You want that, you know, cowbell. You want the hip hip hoorays when you make that trade and your league's like, that was a fleece collusion type of trade going your way. Always a good feeling. It is. However, you know, maybe that was Brandon Ayuk 2 years ago and now you really lost the trade. I'm just saying. Facts are the facts. So, just because on the surface it doesn't seem great, doesn't always mean that it's not great. And again, don't give away the players. I mean, we have a general value chart. It's pretty easy to tell, you know. Not giving up CeeDee Lamb for, you know, Antonio Williams. All right? It's not happening. Like, that's silly. Okay? So, with that said, the trades markets are always to improve my roster. I kind of hinted at it a bit there a little bit ago. What we're looking to do is improve weak spots in our roster. Okay. But we don't necessarily want to create a weak spot by fixing a weak spot. Again, common sense to an extent, right? So if we have five top 36 wide receivers, three or four of them top 24, we'll say. Say we drafted really well at receiver. We need that tight end. We want to make a one for one, moving our top wide receiver for a top tight end. Not a terrible move. Okay. The issue that you have is not creating. Now you're down to four wide receivers. If you give up your top receiver, you know, one gets hurt, two gets hurt. If you can start four receivers, it might end up being detrimental. We do have to give up something to get something. But when it comes down to it, we don't always need to go and get that premier player, okay? If I have strength at wide receiver, I'm preferably looking to move my third or fourth wide receiver for more of an upside type of splash swing at tight end. You know, the tight end position, this is just an example, obviously, but the tight end position is up for grabs post tight end six. You know, it's very who scored a touchdown this week type of production. So giving up, you know, we'll just say Jaxon Smith-Njigba for Trey McBride isn't always the best move. It may seem like it on the surface. You know, tight end seems like there's an advantage really there at the top end of the tier. And the only thing that comes with it would be maybe consistency. I would argue, obviously, Trey McBride last year was kind of a one-off type of production. We've seen it in the past where some of these tight ends do get that far ahead of the field, but it's not often that we see that anymore. It's a fairly leveled out tight end field near the top of this class here nowadays, and it feels like a deeper tight end group than in the past in the fantasy value, at least name value for it. So, again, we don't always need to go and get that splash play at tight end. Now, obviously, if someone has them on the waiver wire, yeah, or on the trade block, yeah, we're looking to kind of maybe make that move. But that might not always be your answer. You know, I'm a big proponent in trying to improve my roster in a way that is most conducive and cheapest for me, you know. So I prefer to go after those guys that are like the Hunter Henrys, you know, even that at wide receiver. Typically, you've already got your top receiver. Like it's hardly ever do I need to go get CeeDee Lamb. Yes, CeeDee Lamb may be on the trade block, but what am I giving up to get him? Maybe too much and may hurt my team worse than just avoiding CeeDee Lamb. If I have to give up, say, Drake London, Tet McMillan to get CeeDee Lamb. Drake London and Tet McMillan are going to score more points than CeeDee Lamb. Okay, so why not keep the two guys, avoid having to move them, and go get yourself Josh Downs on the backside and improve from, say, Khalil Shakir to Josh Downs. Josh Downs could easily be a top 24 wide receiver this year with the loss of Michael Pittman, and you're moving up from Khalil Shakir, who has now added targets against DJ Moore, and still he still could be a top 24 guy, potentially. More likely a top 48 type of territory for Khalil Shakir this year. So that move, much cheaper, probably easier to make at this point in time than trying to go and get the big fish. The big fish is fun. It's the new toy on Christmas. We want to go get it, but it's not always the answer. Okay. The answers can be found in the back half of the roster. I'm a big proponent of filling out the roster. You need to have the depth. A little bit more depth and lack of the top end isn't the worst, okay? You need a few of those top end guys in the certain spots, and they need to be difference makers. You know, having that a top-tier quarterback, having one top-tier quarterback, one top-tier wide receiver, and like a top-tier tight end, and then you fill in the rest in the mid-tiers. Like the running backs are a little bit more mid. The wide receivers are more mid outside of your top guy. And those teams can win very easily. Okay, creating a positional advantage is really the key. I've won plenty of dynasty leagues by just loading up at running back. You know, I had five of the top 15 running backs. Like I could start four of them because I had two running backs, two flex. All right. And that was a positional advantage. My wide receivers were terrible. I had like nobody. My best wide receiver was like Khalil Shakir. So, but I won the league. I had a good quarterback. I think it was Lamar Jackson. Then I had, you know, like I said, five of the top 15 running backs, I won the league pretty easily. Okay, so it doesn't always have to be fancy and fun throughout the entirety of the roster. Now, this matters in leagues. You know, if you do have a stacked team you're trying to go against, maybe that forces your hand to have to give up more for players and getting those top tier type players. Again, the process for it is just don't always swing for the big fish because it's fun. It's shiny. but it costs more. And it isn't always the answer, because you may end up on the backside of that, you know, giving up 2-3 players that are good, strong, predicting and projected assets for just one guy in the short term doesn't always work out. I can tell you, look in the real sports world. You see that all the time. Trying to expedite the rebuilds don't always work. Fantasy, you know, it's not the same, but it's also the same. You know, sometimes those expedited rebuilds work if you do manage to fleece a couple trades in there, but it doesn't happen all the time. So it is harder to do than you would think. All right. So don't rush it. Okay. If you're new to Dynasty, patience is key. It takes a little bit. You might donate a couple of years of league fees, but trust me, following along with us, nailing some of those rookie drafts will really push you up there. I have some teams that just, again, it was a slow and steady process, been 2 or 3 years, but they're very good. So the problem, again, lies that I didn't rush it. I sold a couple pieces, really influx of youth and good youth at the receiver position, and then built through that, and it's generated some very strong contending rosters. So, again, July. Keys here for us, what we should be doing as dynasty managers, assessing the roster. Where's our weak points? Where's our strong points? Where's the spot we can give something up to get something? Maybe it's not the big fish. Maybe I'm just looking at the back end of my roster, filling in the middle, giving myself some consistent points in the flex spots and the lower portion of my roster to go ahead and really fill out that roster on a consistent weekly basis. I will tell you this. Consistency is a little bit better, because in Dynasty, if it's not best ball, it's you're plugging players in and you need to pick those players and start sits. The less decisions you have to make, the less wrong decisions you're going to make. So having that consistency in those players that you can trust and count on and you're willing to hit that start sit button on is an underappreciated value in Dynasty, especially in the middle tiers of your roster. And I think it can help you because, again, you're not doing this flip-flop between players on the back end of like high upside guy, but could get me zero, could get me 50 this week. Yes, those players, if you guess right, can win a week, but that consistency really allows you to give it a consistent go at that roster. Okay. That's kind of the process, a little bit of it. Who's that one player right now? I'm going to give you one player quick. We're going to talk about them. It is a wide receiver, because we are running close to the clock here. One player that I'm looking at right now in the dynasty landscape that I'm really in on at this point in time. A guy that I was deeply into coming out of college, and that's Jalen McMillan in Tampa Bay. Okay. Right now, I think his value is suppressed. I think a lot of people are in on Amik Abuka for good reasons. Chris Godwin's getting the hype as well. A guy that I like too here in 2026. But I like, honestly, all of these guys. Like, this offense doesn't necessarily throw to the tight end. Kate Otten, not really a huge factor. Yes, they went and got Kenneth Gainwell, who was phenomenal in Pittsburgh last season as a receiving back. But Rashad White's gone, so yes, maybe we see a little bit of that as well. However, the key piece that's missing in this passing attack is Mike Evans. There's a path open on the perimeter. Chris Godwin is, at this point in his career, a slot guy. Amik Abuka can kind of pivot in and out, a little bit more comfortable in the slot than on the perimeter, but we will see Abuka on both positions. I feel like Godwin kind of will stay on the inside, the guy that's really going to be their premier X receiver, and not premier in, you know, talent-wise. He's not Mike Evans. He's not Drake London, but he's their focal-pointed X receiver on this roster. It's going to be Jalen McMillan. Now, he's not, you know, 6'6", and he's not the what you would imagine the older projected X type of players, or those still that we kind of like to archetype into those, like the Cortland Suttons, you know, the bigger Tet McMillan, lengthy type of players. He's a little bit shorter in stature, but we've seen these guys become a little bit more of the new age X receiver, nearing that 6 foot point, a little bit of a more twitchier athlete. Now, Jalen McMillan's not super twitchy, but the only other player that's really going to push him on the perimeter would be rookie Ted Hurst. I like Ted Hurst. I do. I don't foresee him pushing past Jalen McMillan. Last season was a wash. We didn't see enough of Jalen McMillan. We saw a little bit of hope there coming off of that injury to give us hope that we can see what we saw as a rookie continue. And what did we see as a rookie? We saw the highest rate of 20 plus targets amongst Tampa Bay receivers in 2024. He converted 41% of those to catches that went for over 140 yards and three touchdowns. Again, he still had a lower volume target share amongst the group, but saw the deep targets. And that's where Mike Evans was right there with him on par. Okay, so this was Evans' role. We've seen this the past few seasons. Jalen McMillan likely inherits a lot of this just because we already saw him do it as a rookie and successfully. He operated 70% of the time as a rookie as a perimeter receiver. Again, this is Mike Evans' territory. This is where he could step in to becoming their true outside perimeter receiver. He had 8 touchdowns, second on the team as a rookie. Now, the advanced data at the yards per route run of 1.3, not ideal. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you this is why, this is what. It was not a good number. Wasn't great. You would have loved to see that higher. Again, there were some nice things in there in the deeper type of targets. The 8 touchdowns is nice to see. There was some good production overall. And he generated explosive plays fairly well. It was the highest explosive play rate player over at FTN Fantasy amongst those Tampa Bay wide receivers in his rookie season. And he had the second most air yards, again, right behind Mike Evans. All of this stuff should increase this year with Evans gone. I truly think that he may be their go-to perimeter receiver. Now, that said, he's going to have to convert on this opportunity. So I'm not paying a premium, but you don't have to. Right now in the Dynasty streets, Jalen McMillan is fairly affordable, a guy that you can easily get, especially if you haven't had your rookie draft yet. Like, I would give up a second-round pick. Mid to late second round pick all day for Jalen McMillan right now. I think that there's a good chance that we see Jalen McMillan as a strong wide receiver two. Well, probably wide receiver, low end wide receiver two, strong wide receiver three. That's probably his territory, but I do could see where he is a top 20-ish type of receiver if he gets more than what we expect. But I do think he's probably more wide receiver three for us in fantasy. But to me, this is a player that's going to have some weeks that he wins you him, but he's also going to have the consistency that you're fine just starting him in your flex spot. He doesn't need, I don't want you to go out there and make him your premier receiver on your dynasty roster, but if you need a player to fill in that flex spot, Jalen McMillan's really it. He's an affordable player. He has less hype than like a Josh Downs. He has less hype than Luther Burton. He has less than DJ Moore. Some of these guys that are kind of a little bit forgotten about, you know, Cortland Sutton maybe is another player that has that same territory as Jalen McMillan, where it's kind of like, meh, not overly excited, don't love it. Jalen Waddle's new and fancy here in Tampa Bay. Ooh, Amika Buka and the resurgence of Chris Godwin, because Godwin's great. Love me some Godwin. But Jalen McMillan, very easily accessible, and kind of goes to what I mentioned earlier in the processing of how I look to strengthen my roster, and it's in the middle to the back end of my roster. Jalen McMillan feels like that. Second round picks do not hit often, and especially in this weak running back class, or in this weak overall rookie draft class, especially running backs. There's not much in the second round of our rookie drafts that I feel confident in. And if you haven't had it, that's a perfect opportunity. 2027, I'm a little hesitant to give up the second. I think this class could be stronger, especially if everybody does declare. So there I'm getting a little dicey, but maybe again, maybe you can make that one for one. Maybe a Jalen McMillan for Khalil Shakir, or Jalen McMillan for, I'd probably keep Jordan Addison. He's probably territory there. Trying to think here off the top of my head. Matthew Golden, probably keeping Matthew Golden. Players around his value. I would say he's probably that low end too. If you're a contending team, you know, if you're next year, even 2027, if you know you're, you know, 10, 11, 12, I'd probably give it up. If you want that one extra secured piece at the back end of my roster, I'd give that up. So we're at Jalen McMillan. That's my player. My player spotlight for today of who you need to go ahead and get. Again, let's recap what we talked about today, the process. Let's assess our roster after we're done listening to this. Assess the roster. We want to see where our weaknesses are, what we have to do, where we're going to make these trades. Keys to that, don't always go after the big fish. Sometimes those mid-tier guys can really help us out more than we think. All right. Last but not least, and most important nugget to take from this podcast in general today is going to be, don't always think you need to win the trade. Don't go out there and give away stuff. But if this player is improving your roster, That's all that matters. As long as you're improving the roster, filling in areas of need, just because you surface level lose the trade value, you ain't going to be carrying if you're picking up that, you know, belt, ring, trophy, whatever your league gives away for the winner of the season. All right. So again, don't be afraid. Another key, do not be afraid to make those trades. All right. That's what we got for you. Next week, we will be back with more fun. All right. We'll go a little less process. We'll talk about some players, some player values, pivoting, moving up, down, stuff like that. We'll really start to dive into that as we start to see more and more player news come out from the NFL. But again, July opening up, coming out of the stagnanticity of June. So we're here. We're diving in. Dynasty football. Remember, follow us all on the socials. FTN Fantasy on pretty much any social that you have. Myself, new social, at Popes_FF. Good old hackers got my old Twitter account, so need to rebuild that. So if you haven't noticed, Popes_FF, that's where you need to follow me. And remember, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It would be greatly appreciated for myself and FTN Fantasy. And make sure you check out all of our stuff over at FTNFantasy.com. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.